we want to finish the word on healing, but there's more to healing than just the body. There's the healing of the soul. And I think the things that we've been talking about here this morning are issues of the soul that need to be healed. Okay? And we need a knowledge, and we talked about faith last week, but we need, our faith, brethren, is in the Word of God. Amen? We have to put our confidence and our trust in what God said. Amen? And not go and take sides against what God said, and take sides with unbelief and doubt and fear and this kind of thing, but to take sides in agreement with what the Word of God actually says concerning these things. Now, the thing that we need to know, and that's what I want to focus on today, is that we have a hearing God. All right, now I'm going to give you piles of evidence that God hears. And you cannot walk out of here today with any doubt that God hears. And even if you don't cry, He hears. He knows what's there. Amen? So let me start off in Proverbs, the 15th chapter. And I want to start in verse 29. And just because there's a few verses after this, I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of them, because it's wisdom that goes along with it. All right, but the key that I'm looking at here is verse 29, chapter 15 of Proverbs. The Lord is far from the wicked. Amen? Come on now. None of us are going to put ourselves in that class. The Lord is far from the wicked. But, says, here's where He is for us. But He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Amen? 15:29. But He heareth the prayer of the righteous. All right, now let me continue here. Amen? The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. That's spiritual language there. 15. We're just going from 29 down to verse 30. All right, one more verse here, a couple more verses. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Do you hear that? You know what? Sometimes we need to hear some reproof. Reproof is what? It's a little correction sometimes, isn't it? Amen? He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Oh my goodness. Amen? But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Mm-hmm. Just some good nuggets of wisdom that went along with that, that the Lord hearing our prayer. Amen? Now, let me take you to a couple more, and I want you to know that He not only hears, but He knows. Let me go first to Corinthians. There's a little verse there. I think it's the only one we're going to do in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 3:20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Perhaps wise in their own eyes. Let me see this. Futile. Amen. You know what? God knows your thoughts. I didn't read that to throw a negative at you. But He knows. He knows you're good. He knows you're bad. He knows the futility of your scheming and trying to get your way out of it. He knows it all. He reads your mind. You know, I'm going to tell you something. The devil cannot read your mind. The devil does not have that privilege. God has that privilege. Now you say, well, yeah, how do you know the devil doesn't have... Listen, to some extent, I could read your mind. If I hung around you for most... You know, who do I hang around most of the time? I hang around my wife. You know what? And she hangs around me. And you know what? She knows what I'm thinking on the basis of what I do. I go thus and thus. She says, oh, I know what you're thinking. And I can say to her, I know what you're thinking.
Right.
Now listen, the devil has got 6,000 years experience watching human beings.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to read your mind.
No.
If he listens to what you talk about,
yeah,
he knows what you're thinking about.
Yeah, he does.
If he whispers some evil thing to you and he sees you react to it, he knows what you're thinking.
Right.
He knows you heard him. And you go ahead and start doing whatever he whispered, he knows what's on your mind. But he cannot hear your prayer to God in the innermost part of your being. And he is sometimes confused. Sometimes you pray and you say, Lord, that sister that I'm thinking about. You know, you don't always say the name to the Lord. He knows what you're thinking.
Right.
And you know the devil doesn't even know who you're talking about. But God does. And I like to confuse him. I like to keep him confused. So he doesn't know what's going on. And this is why, you know, speaking in tongues, the devil doesn't know what's going on. And sometimes I don't know what's going on, but God knows what's going on. He hears it. Amen. All right, that was the one in Corinthians. Let me go to Numbers and Deuteronomy, and then we're going to take the rest of them from Psalms. This may not be a long word today. Numbers 20.
What did you read in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians?
The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. Amen? Yeah. The part that I wanted to focus on was that he knows the thoughts. Amen? And that's from the New Testament. But there is so much more in the Old Testament. Now, go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 20. We're talking about God hearing us today. Amen? That we have a hearing God. I want to make that point. We have a hearing God. Now, just because you don't get your answer that minute, or the next day, or that week, doesn't mean God didn't hear. You know, there are things that we ask God for that take a little time. Amen? I'll never forget the word that Brother Burt brought this woman in Nigeria. Do you remember how it went, Rita? You've heard it from Burt, too. That there was a woman that he gave a word. Oh, yes, I think he gave a word to this woman. It was a young girl. And the word was, the Lord has heard your cry, you want a companion, you have asked the Lord for this, 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 and this in this companion. And he said, the thing that you have asked me for, I don't have. However, I'm going to make one. I'm going to make one after the requirements that you have asked of me. So you're going to have to give me a little time because I'm going to remake a fellow in the manner that pleases me and pleases you. And he went back later and God found a guy. He made him.
The Lord
was making her. Yes. So listen, there are things that you ask for that take time. Amen. You're going to ask God for the perfect mate, the perfect companion, what have you. Give him a little time. Amen. He's got to do some fine tuning here. Otherwise, if you put the two of you together, you'll fight like a couple of cats and dogs. Amen. He's got to take the rough edges off. Amen. So no, you don't want that kind of a disaster. You don't want to get ahead of God in the things you've asked. You know, I tell you, you know, the first time somebody gave us a prophecy way back when, soon after we were saved, that we were going to be traveling in foreign countries. And I shook my head and I said, oh man, no way. I have no desire. I want to stay home. I like it at home. I don't think I like airplanes. And I like ships a whole lot less. But you know what? Give God enough time and he'll bring it to pass. All right, so let me go on. We're going to Numbers. Numbers chapter 20, verse 16. Numbers 20. Verse 16. Let me go back to verse 14 so you get the context here. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travel that hath befallen us. You know who the Edomites were, by the way? Esau. Esau's people.
Oh.
So when he said, thy brother Israel,
yeah,
it was his brother.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. All right. So, howbeit, our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. Now, how many years did they get vexed? 400 years. Now, I don't know whether it was exactly where the clock started with 400. It actually may have started with Abraham. Amen. Because there, when you count the generations in Egypt, it doesn't seem to quite add up to 400 years. But he told Abraham, he says, you're going to be in Egypt for 400 years. So I think it counted from when he talked to Abraham and told him, 400 years from now, it's going to happen. All right, let me go on. I'm just speculating here. This isn't thus saith the Lord. And some good Bible scholar that knows math and everything, I welcome you to prove me wrong. Okay? I'd just like to know the truth about it. But I'm speculating here. All right, so, and here's the verse. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice.
Amen.
The point is, they must have been crying for quite a while. How many of you believe that the Israelites cried for a season of time before God sent Moses? Now, why didn't he let them out right away? Well, first of all, the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. And that's the thing that he told Abraham when he talked to him about the 400 years. He says the iniquity of the Amorites isn't full yet. And when the iniquity of the Amorites is full, then I'm going to send you guys out of Egypt and we're going to take care of the Amorites. Amen? And I'm going to use you as a vessel to deal with them. In the meantime, the whip of the Egyptians is coming down on your backs and your slaves, and you're getting embittered about it. But, on the other hand, I have to find me a Moses. Amen? A Moses. You know, I don't know that there was any other man in Israel that God could have trusted to do this job.
Right.
You say, well, he could have trusted Aaron. Well,
no.
Could he have?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Aaron caved in and he made the calf, didn't he?
Yeah.
Moses was the only one that wouldn't cave in.
Amen.
On anything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'm saying that God heard their cry.
Yes, he did.
And you know what? He got them out.
Yes, he did.
He didn't do it exactly when they wanted it, but he got them out and he got them out and he did it right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. He heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. I don't want to go on any further into his dealing with this Edomite here. Just that the testimony is God heard our cry.
Amen.
Amen. He brought us to this point. Now he's going to hear our cry and he's going to finish the job.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to bring us out of the wilderness.
Yes.
Right, Larry?
Right.
Amen. Into the promised land.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Out of this wilderness.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. He's basically saying the same thing, but I just want another witness here in another book. Deuteronomy 26. And that'll be verse 7. I'll go back a little bit, verse 6. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us. Amen? You know, the Israelites have a background of slavery. They got into slavery for a while. And the Egyptians were cruel masters. They weren't benevolent masters. They were cruel. Amen? All right. and laid us upon us hard bondage. All right. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, listen to this, and when we cried, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. That terribleness means awesomeness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How could you forget what God has done? Hallelujah. Now I want to take you to Psalms. Amen. Good brother David. Amen. I tell you, David knew that God was a hearing God. How did David figure that out? Tell me, did God just sit down with him and say, "All right, David, here, get your notebook out. I want to tell you something. Write it down. God hears your prayer." Oh, that's good. I learned that now, didn't I? No, he didn't. That isn't how David learned it. David learned it from the afflictions that he had to go through.
Right.
And every time he'd get into affliction, he'd cry out to God, and God would deliver him.
Yeah.
Every time it came that Saul was just about ready to come in on him and kill him and trap him, he'd cry out to God and God would get him an escape. God would do something different every time. Every time the Philistines came, amen, David would say, "God, how shall I deal with it?" Go up against him. Next time the Philistines would come, he would say, "God, how shall I deal with it? Shall I go up against them again?" No, go around behind them. I'm going to do something different this time.
Right.
When you hear the marching, when you hear the sound of marching in the mulberry trees, then you know I've done what I'm ready to do.
Amen.
Then go after them.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Then you'll take them. In other words, wait for me.
Yes.
Wait for my spirit to confound them and confuse them. Wait for me to stir them up right.
Amen.
Then you'll have victory.
Amen.
In other words, you're going to learn, I hear you, but you're going to learn to depend on me to get it done. Amen. That's right. Now, that's in, where did I say? Did I read the one in Psalms already? I didn't say. Okay, Psalms 3, verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Oh, I could read the whole of Psalms, but I just have to pick out a few. You know that song, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Amen? And I'm not a good singer, so I'm not going to finish it. But he heard me out of his holy hill.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Lord.
I know that he hears. All right, let's go on. Chapter 18. We'll just work our way through Psalms here a little bit. At chapter 18, verse 6. In my distress. Oh, let me go back a little bit further. Go back to verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Another song, isn't it? All of these are songs that we sing.
Yes.
Amen. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Sister, you listening? Ungodly men made me afraid. Here's the answer. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. You know what compassed means? It means surrounded me 360 degrees all the way around. If you want to go 365, they overlap a little bit. Amen. All the way around me was the terror of hell. Amen. Sorrows of hell. Amen. The cords of hell, literally, I think it is there. The snares of death prevented me, confronted me. Amen. In my distress, here's the verse here now. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even unto his ears. Where was that temple that he heard?
In his
You said it this morning. The mercy seat. Isn't that what you said? Yes. He heard me from the mercy seat. Come on, we have access to the mercy seat. The mercy seat isn't a thing in a tent made out of gold anymore. That isn't the mercy seat anymore. That was just a pattern, a type. We have a hearing God. We have the mercy seat available to us now. You know what? And when we're going to dwell in the Holy of Holies, we are going to dwell continually before that mercy seat, communing with Him. God, I need this. Oh, Lord. Amen. Hear me, O God. You know, and He's going to be hearing and answering. All right. That was Psalm 18. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We're going to verse 6, I think it is. Let's go to, oh my, we have to start back in verse 4, I think. Where did I say we're going? Yeah, to verse 6, 34, yeah. Let's start in verse 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and He delivered me from some of my fears. Oh, see, I did that just on purpose so that to see if you're listening and you're reading. Come on. Are any of you going to hold on to some of your fears?
No.
Which fear don't you want to get rid of? You want to hold on to some of the fears?
No.
What do you want to be afraid of?
No.
Come on, you don't want to be...
The fear of the Lord.
And that's a different word there, a little bit. It has a little different meaning. But yes, we want to have the fear of the Lord, which is a reverence of the Lord, but we don't want to be terrified by the Lord.
Right.
Amen? But the terrors, He delivered me from all my fears.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
I'm going to let Him have them all.
Yes.
Give them to Him.
Yes.
Give them to Him. You weren't meant to carry them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
But in order to get rid of them, you have to seek the Lord.
Yes. They looked upon Him and were lighted, radiant. Amen? And their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. How many of you would ever have identified as a poor man? Now, woman. Woman is okay here, too. Any of you ever been poor?
Well, we are poor.
Yeah. The poor man, the poor woman, cry to the Lord. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to read one more yet here. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Here's that encompasses again. Round about. The angel... What? One angel can be all the way around me?
Yeah, they got those.
How about the Lord could be the angel of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
So if the angel of the Lord encamps round about me, where am I? In what? If the angel of the Lord is Christ, then where am I?
In Christ.
I'm in Christ, and He's
around
me. So Christ is in me, amen, but I'm in Christ.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So the angel of the Lord encamps round about who? Round about who? Them that fear Him. Those that have a reverence for Him. Hallelujah. Not only does He encamp round about them, but what else do you get? What other benefit do you get? And delivers them. Are there any of you that need deliverance? From anything? Yeah. Come on, it says, I have deliverance here. I have deliverance from fear. I have deliverance from any darkness, demonic, devilish trait in me that I need deliverance from.
This is
There, and he's taken away your fear, sister. You have no fear of this anymore.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, enough from that chapter.
One more verse.
Yeah. Which one is that?
Verse 8.
Oh, I thought I said that. Yeah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want in them that fear him. That's another song, isn't it? Isn't it? There is no want.
No lack.
No lack. Amen? In them that fear him. Hallelujah. All right, moving on down to Psalm 120. We got to jump ahead a little. The whole of Psalms. I just have to pick out a few. I can't get them all to you today. I don't have time. 120, which comes after that real short one of 119. Verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Do you know something funny about us people? When we're living in good times, we don't call upon the Lord, do we? Not as much. But when we're in distress, we're calling on the Lord all the time, aren't we? And, you know, I wonder if, since we understand that the Lord likes us to talk to Him, I wonder if the Lord sometimes has to leave us in distress a little longer than we'd like. Or He wouldn't be hearing from us. You know, sometimes we get the answer that we've asked and we say, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you. Okay, Lord, see you later. No, we don't come right out and say it like that. But we don't talk to Him then for quite a while. Oh, trouble again, time to talk to the Lord again. In my distress. See, David understood what was going on. He understood that in distress was when he did the most talking to the Lord. And the Lord heard. All right. I want to just give a couple of other examples then, and I want to go to the book of Jonah. You know, we haven't been in Jonah in a long, long time. I'm trying to find Jonah here. Here it is. Obadiah, Jonah. Yeah, here we are. Jonah chapter 2. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I would say that would qualify as a distressing place, wouldn't it? What would you be doing? How would you feel if you knew you had been swallowed by a giant fish and that you were still alive in the belly of this thing? This monster. I don't know what this monster was. You know, this thing had to be big enough to swallow a man. Fish, whale, I don't know. Something that swims in the sea that was awful big. Somehow, he was in a place where he had the ability to breathe air. I don't know what this place was. Was he in the belly? Did he get into the lungs of this thing? Where did he go? It must have been an air-breathing fish of some sort. He got in there. He got caught in there. But I try to imagine myself in this position. God, I'm gonna be digested in this thing. Leave me in here a couple days and my skin is going to start. I mean, the thing is, it's going to digest me and I'm going to be meat for this thing.
It's salt water, remember?
And he talked about seaweeds coming in, so this thing must have been gulping stuff out of the ocean, and these things would come washing over him every now and then. In his distress, this is distress, isn't it? I can't think of anything much more distressing than this. Unless I'm suspended over the mouth of hell or something. Okay? He says, and cry, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Sounds like David, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Yes. Out of the belly of hell. What does that literally mean? Sheol, yeah, hell. I mean, as far as Jonah was concerned, he was in the belly of hell. Hell, as far as he was concerned, couldn't be any worse than where he was. You know something, brethren? There's people walking the streets today that are in hell.
Yeah. Yes,
they're already living in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Their life is hell.
Yep.
Their circumstances is hell. The torment of their soul is hell. Hell has begun already in the lives of the lost.
Cursed.
It's already begun. They are already experiencing the beginning of hell. Mm-hmm. When they die, it'll just go on to a worse and deeper phase of it.
Without God, there's no hope.
There's no hope. Every man is born to hell.
Yeah.
Of the seed of Adam. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can deliver us from that penalty of hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Jonah was in hell. I cried, and thou heardest my voice. And for thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. He's saying, God, you put me here.
Yeah.
I'm here because of disobedience. This is what disobedience did. Disobedience brought me to hell.
Put himself there.
I rebelled against you, God, and the end result was hell.
Right.
And finally, when I saw the fullness of my disobedience and rebellion against you, I cried and I asked forgiveness.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sure he was asking forgiveness. Oh, forgive me and I'll go and do what you want. I'll go anywhere you want. How many of you heard people say, I'll do anything you want. I'll go anywhere you want. After they try a little while, they say, oh, I'm tired of doing that. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm getting weary of that, God. Don't want to do that anymore. Don't want to go anywhere you want me to go anymore. I don't like all those places. I don't like all those people. Amen. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed me over. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He's looking again to the mercy seat, isn't he?
Yeah.
He knew enough. He knew enough about the tabernacle that he knew he could look to the temple, to the mercy seat. Amen. Well, that'll be enough about Jonah. Let's look at a few other fellows. Let's look in 1 Samuel. I'm looking to see. I thought I had a few more, but we can go to... Yeah, let's go to 1... Oh, yeah, one more after Samuel. 1 Samuel 7:9. First Samuel chapter 7 verse 9. And let me say here the Philistines have come up against the children of Israel. And they've begun to repent. It says in verse 4, and the children of Israel did put away the Baalim and the Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray you for you unto the Lord. So he's going to cry unto the Lord for them. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. In other words, they made a drink offering to the Lord here. Okay? And fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together to Mizpah, in other words, the devil heard that God's people are gathering together for a prayer meeting. And when they gather together for a prayer meeting, they're likely to be repentant and asking the Lord forgiveness and seeking mercy of the Lord. So the Philistines are the devil's people.
Right.
Okay, you know that.
Yeah.
So the Philistines heard about it. The lords of the Philistines, that's the devil and his angels, amen? In typology, I mean, okay? They went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. In other words, they had fear. They hadn't been delivered of all their fears yet, see? So they were taking on fear of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Hallelujah. So here's an example of where the Lord heard the cry that Samuel made in behalf of the Israelites. Let me just read the rest of it so you get the rest of the story. "And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel." Amen? He confused them. And he overcame them. And when God did the job of confusing the enemy, then he sent the Israelite soldiers after them, and they were easy prey. They had no fight left in them anymore. Do you understand? God can take care of our enemies. It doesn't matter who they are. He can take care of them. Hallelujah. "And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines." You know what? We need to pursue the devil. Just because the devil is on the run doesn't mean you've won the victory.
Right.
Devil runs, he'll come back another day. Just because you shook your foot and stamped your foot and made a lot of noise and he ran, the battle isn't over. Amen? The battle is not over until the enemy is dead.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Until he has no more place, no more ground in my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. "They pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.'" I bet you never knew where that word Ebenezer came from, did you?
Yeah.
This is where the word Ebenezer comes from. It is a word that means stone of help. Stone of help. Stone of help. H-E-L-P. Stone of help. So if you're going to name your son Ebenezer, you're going to name him Stone of Help. Rock of Help. Amen. Peter was a... Peter. The Lord told Peter he was a rock, didn't he?
Yes.
It's not a bad name to have.
No.
Amen. "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." I think we can quit there at that point. So Samuel cried. The children of Israel, first of all, it says they repented. They put away their idolatry. They put away their sin. They began to ask forgiveness of their sin. They repented of their sin. All right, and then they asked God's servant. They said, and he judged them. I don't know what it means that he judged them, but I think they came to him with some of their troubles, and they came to him and confessed some of their things, and he counseled them and how to get deliverance from some of them, and then. Amen. Then they said, "Cry to the Lord for us in our behalf." And he did. And when the Philistines heard that there was a revival meeting going on in Israel, when the devil's people heard, he came against them. So we're going to wipe them out. We're going to stop this business. We don't want any crying out to the Lord. We don't want any repentance. We don't want people turning away from idolatry. These are people that are getting out of the snare of the fowler, and I don't like it. Amen. Yes. They were getting out of his snare. Hallelujah. You know what? The prayers that God has heard your prayers. Our children are going to be getting out of the snare of the fowler. Amen. They're going to. The prayers have been given. Now, it takes a while to deliver some of our children.
Right.
It takes a while. Because they have to taste of hell a little bit, some of them, to know the difference. Amen? They have to know that they can't wallow around with the pigs.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They have to know it by experience.
Amen.
You know, we were singing that one song. It seems every song had some kind of a message in it. The song, "There Is No Power That Can Overcome You." And I'm going back 17 years ago, I think it was. We were going through a terrible time with our little granddaughter, Liza. Amen. There was a terrible battle going on. And I remember that what few little times that she was able to come out to the house, Janet would take her in the parlor there, and there's a big chair there that she would kind of ride, and she would hold that child, and the child would just shake and weep and hold on to her. And Janet would sing that song to her. "There is no power that can overcome you." Now the child was probably way too young to understand at the age of 3. Way too young to understand the meaning of that.
Right.
But the power of the Spirit of God in that would just calm her right down.
Amen.
And she'd just fall asleep right there.
Amen.
You know, and it stirred me again. Yes, that wasn't the end of this child's deliverance.
Right.
She needs more deliverance today.
Yeah.
Amen? And my prayer to God, stir the memory.
Yeah.
Amen? Your children have a memory of your testimony when they were young.
Right.
Train up a child in the way he should go when he was young. And when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
Now, when they're young, they depart from it. But the Word of God says when he is old, he will not depart. Because God is going to bring again the memory. And he's going to bring a disgust of the filth of what he's been doing while he was young. But as they get older, I believe God hears. Listen, I can give you many, many examples of a child who turned to the Lord when he was. I give you the example of my oldest brother. How my mother cried. I remember as a little child, younger than 3 years old, younger than 3, probably 2, crying out, "Where's my mother? Where's my panicking in the house? Where's mom?" Running, finally, I heard her voice in the back bedroom, down on her knees by her bed, crying out to the Lord, with her voice crying out, "Oh God, my children! Oh God, my family!" I mean, she heard me come crying. She never lost a beat. She never stopped crying. She put her arm out like this. She's down on her knees. I'm coming from behind. She put her arm out like this, grabbed me, pulled me right down side of her.
Amen.
And inundated me with her prayer.
Yes, amen.
"And Lord, remember this little Mark."
Yes.
"Cause him to be a mighty man."
Amen.
"In the kingdom of God."
Yes,
yes. God hears. Now, he didn't answer that prayer right away because he wasn't a man yet.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, mothers, powerful, powerful prayers before God. You know who it was that prayed for Samuel? It was his mother. And Samuel became a mighty man of God, and he in turn prayed for other people. He prayed for a whole nation of people. And God heard the prayer.
Amen.
Amen. One more example. And that's Elijah. And we want to go to 1 Kings. Oh, here we are. Open right up to 1 Kings. Chapter 17. Brother Larry was talking about the Elijah Company today. It was good to hear that word about the Elijah Company. It's good to know that you understand what the Elijah Company is and what it really means. Amen. We are destined to be the Elijah Company.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. The sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. So, Elijah, chapter 17, verse 21, I believe it is. The widow's son had died. Let me start here in verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I would say that's pretty sick, isn't it?
Yeah,
when he stopped breathing, you're dead. Amen. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" In other words, she's saying, am I suffering this because of my sin? Is this why you came here? And to kill my son? And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." You know, she had to trust him to give her son.
Amen.
To him. She had to trust him.
Yes.
Yeah? And he took him out of her bosom. She was holding him.
Yes.
She was holding him in her arms. Amen? He took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft, which would be into the upper room or the attic. Okay? Where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. The prophet had a little quarters up there. Amen. Had a little bed up there. And he cried unto the Lord. Here's the verse now. He cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord. See, I'm saying the Lord hears the cry.
Amen.
Three times. Three times is fullness, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. How would Elijah know that the soul came to this child again? Because he started breathing. Amen? He started breathing again. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth."
Amen.
But now, she didn't know when she said, "O thou man of God, what have I to do with thee?"
Right.
Were those just words? She called him man of God,
right.
But now she says, "Now I know that you're the man of God." I just called you that before because, you know, I thought, well, you know, you're keeping my food going, you know, my barrel keeps filling up, you know, and my oil, it keeps running, you know, but what was it, Rita?
I thought that's what everybody was calling you,
man of God. Yeah. Oh, man of God, man of God. You know, you get over in these countries and there is so much religion. I mean, they write religion all over their taxis. Yes, God's taxi, Jesus Christ taxi, you know, man of God taxi. I mean, they all kind of Philippines, Africa, all over.
Yeah.
You've been there, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They write all kinds of slogans all over their cars and their taxis.